All right, we're good to go. Turn your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Just before service started, I went over to my wife and I grabbed a piece of gum from her. And she told me, make sure you spit this out before you get up there. And I was in the back and I came and sat up here and I completely forgot to spit it out. So like any good man would do, I decided just to try to swallow it before I come up here. And it stuck somewhere between my mouth and my stomach. So we will we'll get through this, I'm sure. We'll be just fine. But that's an interesting way to start this evening, this morning. If you find your place in the book of Joshua, please stand with me as we read God's word. It's kind of interesting the song choices that were picked both last Sunday and this Sunday, because I had no idea what songs they were, and Miss Katie had no idea what God would have me bring. And both times so far, all the songs have lined up pretty much exactly with what God would have me to speak. And there's no coincidence in that. It's great that Trust and Obey is the last song that we sang, because we're going to look at a group of people that had to trust and obey. This morning, look with me in the Joshua chapter 1. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Turn over with me to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." In this time in the nation of Israel, they're going through a change of leadership. Moses died, and a young man by the name of Joshua is who God chooses to start leading his people. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, dear God, thank you for this opportunity to speak for you. I pray that you'd help me, God. I pray that you'd calm my nerves, that you'd help me to say what needs to be said, nothing more. I pray that you'd open the hearts of your people. I pray that you'd help them to hear what you'd have for them to hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho is one of the more popular stories from the Bible. It lines up right there with David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale, Daniel and the lion's den. As far as lessons that we teach children, these lessons, like I've said previously before, are often lost in children's church, and they don't really make it up to adults, when these lessons have more for adults, really, than they do for children. In order to fully understand what's about to happen in Jericho, we need to kind of backstep a couple of chapters to really see the process that God took to bring Joshua to Jericho. We find in Joshua 1, when Moses died, God called Joshua to take over. Joshua's first command was in verse 2, "Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan." The Jordan River at this time, the Bible describes, was in the time of harvest. It's a river that would be impossible to walk over without anything spectacular happening. It would have been an impossible task for the children of Israel just coming out of the wilderness to be able to go across this river into the promised land that God gave them. Now, through God's leadership, Joshua led those people by trusting and obeying what God told them to do across the river. Before that happened, Joshua was concerned about something that was going to happen next. The Bible says before they even came to the Jordan River, there was a city by the name of Jericho. And Jericho was across the Jordan River. It would have been something that came later on down the road. But Joshua was concerned about it now, prior to going across the Jordan River. So much so that if you look in Joshua chapter 2, turn over there with me if you would. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Verse number 2 says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." Now, to really understand this part of the story, because it's almost like, how in the world, when I was younger, I thought Jericho was like a massive city like the size of Orlando, and the wall was like the Great Wall of China that wrapped around it. That's not true. According to Bible scholars, Jericho was approximately about 10 acres big. So, to give you perspective, it'd be about the size of 6 football fields put together. Now, it's still big. It's still a big area of land, but it's not like a huge, crazy place. The unique thing about Jericho was its walls. The walls were estimated to be between 30 and 40 feet tall. That is a very high wall. And the city itself was known to be unconquerable. You cannot get through these walls. With that being said, the city was big, but it was not so big to where if someone new came in, people wouldn't recognize them. They wouldn't be able to say, "Hey, those are new people. We've never seen them before." So when they came in, people in Jericho went to the king and said, "Hey, the Israelites are here. They're coming and they're spying. They're looking around." So the king sent after them. Look down at verse 4. "And the women," talking about Rahab, "took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them." Now, it's typical that when you ask, like you ask your wife a question, she doesn't give you the direct answer. She goes around, "I wist not whence they were. Can you say yes or no, or tell me where they are? Like, what does this even mean?" And she said, "If you go, hurry, and you can catch them." So these men just ran. They just took off right out the gate to try and find these two men who were hiding up on her roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror," talking about the children of Israel, "is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." Rahab knew, she realized that the God that the Israelites serve is the true God. She understood that what was coming, they didn't stand a chance. And she told the two spies that everyone here is discouraged. God's already going before them before they even make it to Jericho. They haven't even crossed the Jordan River yet. And God's already working in Jericho to bring them to the Israelites, to bring victory to the Israelites. Look down with me in verse number 23 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over. And came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." So their reputation of God doing wonderful work in the nation of Israel is already going before, and the people of Jericho are already afraid of them. Over the next few chapters, a couple big events happen. Joshua ends up crossing the Jordan River with the nation of Israel by following very specific commands that God gave them. They crossed a river that was impossible to cross by following exactly what God told them to do. When they crossed the river, Joshua made monuments to remind the people of Israel, don't forget what God did here. Over the course of the next chapters, they have the Passover feast. And now, if you turn to chapter 5 and look with me down in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." Now is the time where Jericho's the next step in the nation of Israel's life to get to where God wants them to go. And I like to think this practically, like if I was in this scenario, and if this was me leading God's chosen people, and imagine Joshua maybe standing afar off looking at Jericho, seeing this city with 30 to 40 foot walls, and then thinking, how is this even going to happen? How are we supposed to take a city that's basically impossible to siege? And you can almost see him looking at Jericho and then maybe looking back at the nation of Israel, who just came out from wandering in a desert for 40 years. They only have what God gave them, what was necessary for them to survive. And so he may be a little, God, what are you going to do? How is this going to happen? Read the rest of verse 13 with me. "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." And it continues in chapter 6. The chapter ends there, but it continues, the conversation continues. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The city went in total lockdown. When they realized that the Israelites are here, they shut everything down. No one's coming in, no one's coming out. There's COVID in the streets. We're shutting everybody out. No one's allowed in. No one is getting into this wall. The people of Jericho resided in the confidence that they had in their wall that was going to protect them against a nation that didn't have anything siege equipment. They didn't carry battering rams through the wilderness. They didn't have anything, so they were confident that their walls were going to protect them. Jericho was a fortified city standing between Israel and the Promised Land. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. It was impossible to conquer. But God would give them a victory in a way that emphasizes His power and not man's. The lesson that Jericho gives us is that great battles are not won through physical might, but are won by faith and obedience and trusting in God. We find in verse number 1 the obstacle that was before them. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. The application for this is that we all will face Jerichos in our lives. Jericho is a trial or something that comes up in our life that is in our way from us serving God and what God would have us to do. It is a stronghold. It's described as a stronghold. And they could be anything from addiction to broken relationships, spiritual struggles, fear. It doesn't matter. All those can be considered spiritual strongholds in our lives, spiritual Jerichos. Look with me in Joshua 6, verse number 2. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." This victory, this fight, was already over before it even started. All they had to do was trust and obey what God was telling them. God's promises in His Word are sure, even when the circumstances of life say otherwise. Faith believes what God says before we see the results. In chapter 6, verse number 3, the Bible says, God gives the plan to Joshua for how they're going to take it. And you can almost see Joshua eager. Like, what's the plan? How are we going to do this? Are you going to call fire down from heaven and completely destroy the city? Are you going to send chariots of fire to run them down over? Are you going to cause a flood or an earthquake? How are we going to do this? Well, "And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, okay, we're going to surround the city. And ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. So we're going to walk around the city for 6 days. That's the plan. I want you to take all of the men of war and walk around the city and do it once every day for 6 days. Okay, and then the fire is going to fall from heaven, and then all that's going to happen, right? Verse number 4. And the priest shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So for 6 days you're going to walk around the city one time for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, you're going to get everybody up early and you're going to walk around 7 times. Then you're going to blow trumpets and you're going to yell at the wall and it's all going to fall. Okay. If that was me, I can't, like, physically thinking, if that's what you were told, how often would that scenario work in your life? If your boss came and started yelling at you, would you be able to walk around him 6 times and then yell at him and maybe he would go away? Probably not. That scenario will never happen. Maybe it's how we handle our relationships. We're going to try that later. When you're mad at me, I'll just walk around you, and then I'll yell and see what happens. You leave me alone. I don't know that it's going to go that great. It probably won't. Yep, it probably won't. But the instructions were weird. They were wild. Why in the world would I walk around a city? We just got done walking for 40 years. Why do we have to walk again around the city? And look at verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun questioned everything that God said and wondered how the... No, that's not what it says, does it? That's not what it says at all. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests. Immediately he said, all right, guys, here's the plan. Now, I am in a position of leadership at where I work. And sometimes my bosses tell me things that make absolutely no sense. They tell me to do something that makes absolutely no sense. And then I get put in the wonderful position to relay that information to the people that below me. And I tell them, hey, we're going to do like this. Well, why? Because that's what they said. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, yes, I know. But that's what they want us to do, so we have to do it that way regardless. He immediately goes and tells the nation of Israel, this is the plan. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. They immediately followed exactly what Joshua told them to do. There was no questioning, there was nothing. Joshua said, this is what we need to do. And they immediately followed behind him. Verse number 9. And the armed men went before the priests and blew with the trumpets. And the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, but the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. They followed exactly what God told them to do. Verse number 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and had compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. The strategy that was given made no sense. To walk around a city for 7 days, once every day for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day made absolutely no sense. Israel had to follow exactly what God told them to do, even though it seemed foolishly. God's ways are always higher than our ways. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Obedience in what God has us do does not sometimes match human logic. God's ways are always higher than man's ways. Look with me in verse number 17. "And the city shall be accursed," talking about Jericho, "even it and all that are therein. To the Lord, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The seventh day, on the seventh day, when the people shouted, the walls fell flat. And I believe that's exactly how it's worded, is exactly how it happened. I don't believe the Israelites had to struggle climbing over any bit of a wall to get to the city. When it says they fell flat, I truly believe that they fell flat. And then they walked right into the city with no obstacle in their way. The victory was not by their might, but by God's. Spiritual strongholds in our lives come down through faith, through prayer, and obedience. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Verse number 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And I don't, like, this means absolutely nothing. This is just how my mind thinks sometimes. If you look at the end of that verse, it shows a semicolon with a parenthesis. Now, in modern day texting, that's a winky face. That's like a winky face. And when I read this, my mind may be silly, but I read this, and it's almost like Paul, when he writes this, said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Remember Jericho? Like a little wink kind of thing. That's how I see that, and that's how I look at it. Jericho was under a absolute ban when it came to the spoils of the city. All of it belonged to God. Nobody in Israel was allowed or told they could have. They weren't allowed to touch any of the spoils. Joshua wanted the Israelites to realize that this victory and the rewards were from God, and the rewards belong to God. When God gives us victory over the strongholds in our lives, all the glory and all the honor needs to be directed to Him. It is the only acceptable response to God helping you bring down the strongholds, bringing down the Jerichos in our lives. There's also another interesting story that happens within Jericho. Yes, God just brings down a city, an impossible city, that the Israelites would never have been able to take on by themselves. But there's also a woman in there by the name of Rahab. Now, Rahab was, she was, what the Bible describes in Joshua chapter 2, it brings her onto the scene as the first verse says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land of Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab." Rahab was a harlot. She was not somebody that you would think would be anything special. And this is the point that's being made here is Rahab and her family were spared because of her faith in who God was. Who the God of Israel was saved her and her family. If you look in chapter 2, down in verse number 12, Joshua chapter 2, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now therefore," this is Rahab speaking, "I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Go back to chapter 6. And look at verse number 22. "But Joshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her.' And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel." And look down at verse number 25. "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Rahab's faith in who God was saved her family from then until now in the nation of Israel. No matter how great your past is, no matter who you are, what you've done, faith in God and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior brings you into God's family for eternity. The same way that Rahab had believed in God and was brought into the nation of Israel, an outcast, someone who shouldn't be there, someone who lived a terrible life, her faith in God brought her into God's family. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the last place we're going to turn to, and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at chapter 30. Hebrews 11, verse 30 says this: "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Can I tell you what this is really saying? Like, if you really look at this verse, I love how this is written. It's written in a way that, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the children of Israel did exactly what God told them to do. They trusted and they obeyed. And then look who just so happens to be in the verse right after it. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." When God gives us victory over the strongholds in our lives, He deserves the honor and the glory. We see in Hebrews 11 that the people that were involved in these battles, it doesn't mention Joshua, it doesn't say, it says the people, the nation of Israel. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab, her family was saved because she believed in God. Stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to give your word, God. I pray that you would use it. I pray that it was beneficial for somebody, Lord. I pray that you would be with us this afternoon. I pray that you'd help us to have a great afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As the piano plays, we'll do an invitation. Maybe this morning you have a stronghold in your life that you can't handle. That seems too big, that seems too high, that seems impossible to take on. God's there, God's with you. God will help you with whatever you're going through. Sometimes it may seem too much to bear, something impossible. But by faith, obedience, and prayer, we can overcome that. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Pray for Pastor as he's traveling back on Tuesday. Or I'm sure he'll be traveling back before that. Or is he coming on Tuesday? Is that when they're traveling? Really early Tuesday morning. So set your alarm for about 2 o'clock in the morning and wake up and pray for him as he comes. I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. But pray for him. Give him a safe trip back. We miss him. I miss him. This is his spot. And we want him back in his spot. All right. Thank you. You are dismissed.